Welcome to the Key Beauty Podcast, a love letter to all things Key Beauty, hosted by me, Ulrike, content creator, blogger, YouTuber, skin enthusiast, dedicated to sharing my love of beauty products from around the world, with a special passion for Asian and indie brands. So, you guys seem to love my ingredient-focused episodes, and since I didn't do a proper trend forecast here on the podcast for 2022 yet, I thought I'd do a little, you know, mid-year update on trending ingredients in Korean skincare right now. One of those super trendy ingredients I actually kind of don't like. But I guess you have to listen to the end of the episode to find out which one. Hi guys, welcome back to the Key Beauty Podcast. Didn't I say in the last episode that I'm going to try update a little bit more regularly? See, this is me trying. So, for today, I thought I'd bring back an old classic, which is an ingredient-focused episode, because you guys, honestly, when it comes to the download numbers, the ones with ingredient or trend focused topics always do best. Always. You seem to be most interested in that. And I get it, because that's honestly also what I do like the most. So that works quite well. So for today's episode, I'm going to focus on 5 key beauty ingredients that are trending at the moment and have been trending for quite a while, to be fair. So these aren't necessarily new, but they seem to just kind of gain in popularity more and more. It's quite crazy to see, actually. And yeah, I'm of course also going to give a few product recommendations in case you want to try out what the ingredients can do. And I was quite excited when I wrote the script, so I hope it will be an informative episode. I'm still pretty congested. Both my voice and my ears are blocked and have been for the past 3 weeks. Oh, it's been quite the ride. We have a heat wave here still in Germany, and it's just not getting better, at least here in the Southwest. But let's get back to Key Beauty ingredients. Now, before I dive into the 5 ingredients I want to focus on, I just wanted to give a bit of a general overview. Not a full trend report, but just certain, I guess, ingredient trends that I've been seeing. And there's one in particular that I've really noticed that has been kind of surprising to me as someone who has been blogging and talking about Key Beauty since 2015, basically, for a good 7 years. Given that I've been doing this since 2015, what I've noticed, especially thanks to TikTok lately, is that a lot of the, I would say, old school K-beauty ingredients are having a bit of a renaissance. The main one where I noticed this, and it's been, okay, this one has been surprising me, is snail. Snail mucin is back, people. And it's back with a vengeance. It's so popular on TikTok. Every single skincare, especially K-beauty TikTok video that I get on my FYP, every single person always uses the snail mucin essence from COSRX. Every single one of them. It is ubiquitous on TikTok. And I've already talked about this quite a bit in a YouTube video that I don't think did very well. I don't think anyone really cared about that video. But the thing is, with the snail, if you've been listening for the podcast for a while, you might remember that I have talked about this a couple of times already. I don't really like the way that K-beauty creators from the West focus so much on snail as a K-beauty ingredient, because first of all, it's not very representative of what Koreans actually use. Koreans are not that crazy about snail. It is one of the many ingredients existing there, but it will certainly not be under the top 5 of the trending ingredients for me at the moment in Korea with Korean products. The COSRX snail essence is not popular really in Korea. Koreans love the COSRX propolis toner. That one is very popular. Their ampoule as well, their propolis ampoule. The snail mucin, I've never seen any actual Korean talk about. It is a very Western phenomenon that everyone is going crazy over it. And I just think the reasons for focusing so strongly on snail are, I think it's mostly really because it's seen as something exotic. People don't want to talk about hyaluronic acid products from COSRX because they want to say, oh, look, it's this special Korean thing that only can be found in Korea. Look, snail. And then, of course, it works very well at TikTok because TikTok skincare content is all about shock value. So, you know, they show the strings of the COSRX essence and, ew, snail, isn't that weird? Oh, it's so weird. And you know that always triggers me, this idea of K-beauty being exotic or being fetishized as this other, this mysterious other. It is just skincare. And snail, again, is just a tiny, teeny portion of that skincare. And if you just follow Western skinfluencers, and I mean, I'm a Western white skinfluencer, I cannot claim to be an authority on anything relating to Korea and Korean culture. So I always have to make that clear that I'm very aware of that. But if you really only follow, especially very successful skincare TikTokers, either they turn the COSRX snail mucin or any snail products into something really terrible that should be avoided. Especially German skinfluencers are terrible for that. And guess what? Most of the skinfluencers that have this weird obsession with focusing on the cruelty of snail mucin and then kind of making blanket statements about Asian and especially Korean skincare being so cruel, as if there weren't so many fantastic cruelty-free Korean brands. Most of the time, guess what? Those skinfluencers usually have their own skincare lines. And maybe just see those very affordable, especially COSRX, very affordable, these affordable Korean brands, high quality, affordable skincare products, maybe just see them as a bit of a rival. I don't know. Just making some assumptions here. But it just always strikes me as convenient for them to focus on the animal cruelty angle, because it's an easy way to get people riled up against a specific type of brand or product that, again, just probably by pure coincidence, stands in opposition to and is a rival to the skinfluencer's products. I'm sure that's all just coincidental, you know? But then I also hate the whole overly positive emphasis on snail as well, because, again, I just think it gives a wrong impressions of what actually is typical for Korean skincare. And this idea of always othering it as something exotic that is so special and different. Because again, I don't really think Korean skincare is different in the sense of being other. It really just has fantastic formulas. There are just so many affordable brands. There's a lot of innovation. But ultimately, skincare is skincare, and Koreans are not some mythical people that we need to represent as completely different from us. I really just find that so uncomfortable. And especially in TikTok, it's so present at the moment. So yeah, snail is back, for better or worse. I would say mostly for worse, even though, again, I actually do like snail products, but I'm just so tired. I feel like I'm stuck in a bit of a time loop, because I feel all of the things that I'm now having to constantly talk about again and again: Orientalism, the idea of othering people from Asian countries, all of the stuff, and the, again, overemphasis on snail as gross, but also kind of exotic and interesting, all of that stuff. I feel I have talked about this probably since 2016, and I kind of felt, oh, we are finally getting somewhere. People are getting that Korean skincare is more mainstream than they might think. But no, we are back to square one. We are back to the basics that I thought I'd already covered. And yeah, maybe I have to do a podcast episode on Orientalism in the representation of Asian skincare. I don't know. I thought this topic is over, but I think thanks to TikTok and younger creators kind of quote-unquote discovering things that are not new and making the exact same mistakes as the first generation Western Asian beauty editors, we are kind of, yeah, back where we were before. Now, apart from snail, which I still consider to be more of a almost a Western phenomena, also, interestingly enough, and I think the pandemic is mostly the reason for this, a lot of other old school, have been around forever staples of Korean skincare when it comes to ingredients are also back and really newly in focus. Certainly, Centella Asiatica, Cica, has just, I mean, it never really went away, but certainly since 2020, there have been so many new Seeker products. I mean, Seeker truly is everywhere. Seeker and probiotics are two trends that just absolutely won't die. And instead of dying, they actually kind of always have these upsurges where you are at a point where you think, okay, they can't really bring out any new probiotic stuff or new Seeker stuff. But guess what? Bam, new Seeker cream, new Seeker balm, new probiotic Centella Asiatica complex or whatever else. Amore Pacific is sort of replacing many of their brand products. Laneige, for instance, is kind of renewing all of their products just to add probiotics. And a little bit of Seeker usually as well, just for good measure. I'm all for that because I love Centella Asiatica. I just sometimes think, you know, don't we have enough Seeker now? There's so much stuff. So that's maybe the only thing that I find a bit annoying. But if you've ever listened to my ingredient episodes or read any of my blog posts about K-beauty ingredients, I've of course been a fan of Centella Asiatica since I started blogging pretty much. It's a fantastic ingredient. So that one makes me happier than snail because you also can't really necessarily exoticize it as easily, I would say. I'm also seeing propolis coming back quite a bit, and again, I would say it's probably because of maskne. At least in Korea, people still do wear their masks most of the time. Yeah, maskne, of course, has been this big, big skincare problem. And so a lot of soothing ingredients, calming ingredients, and especially anti-inflammatory ingredients that are good for this really complicated mix of having aggravated skin, sensitized skin, and a compromised skin barrier, while at the same time also fighting with aggressive breakouts that you kind of want to throw some disinfectant on. But of course, that would just damage your skin barrier more. People are more and more inclined to search for ingredients that can address that very difficult combo of sensitive, acne-prone skin. And propolis is fantastic for that, as is Centella Asiatica. And another ingredient that has become a spotlight ingredient that has, again, always been around, but just not been as much in the focus, is of course panthenol, which is a classic here in German skincare. I mean, there's probably not a single German household that doesn't have a panthenol cream for all sorts of bruises and cuts and rashes. And it's sort of like a classic pharmacy, European pharmacy salve that you just get and have in your little medicine cabinet. And now Korea has discovered panthenol as, again, this panthenol has always been in their skincare products, but now they name new skincare ranges after panthenol and make it a big new thing as a key ingredient. Panthenol is fantastic. It's a very versatile ingredient that really does help to calm down skin, to smooth out especially rashes, but also sort of flaky skin. It's great for that. And it is just pretty perfect in all formulas. So panthenol, another ingredient that I definitely love to see back. Okay, but now let's get into the five actual ingredients that I wanted to talk about before I got distracted again by snail. I'm so sorry. Is this why my downloads are down? Because I always get distracted? Probably. I'm so sorry. All right, let's talk about five K-beauty ingredients that are currently super trendy. All right, and the first one is prickly pear extract or Opuntia ficus indica extract. So this, or cactus fig, I think it's also sometimes called cactus fig extract. So this has been trending a while in K-beauty. I think Huxley was pretty much the first brand that used not prickly pear extract, but prickly pear seed oil and made it the main key ingredient of all of their products, the Sahara, what was it called? Sahara skincare range. I think they had this very famous oil-like essence that was very, very popular. And they have a bit of a more premium look to them. But now, really, I feel that prickly pear extract has just been becoming more of a key ingredient in a number of products that I've seen. So I wanted to spotlight this one first. So first of all, what exactly is prickly pear or Opuntia ficus? What sort of plant is it? So it is, of course, a cactus, as I said, and it usually grows in Australia. It apparently grows in parts of the Mediterranean and in the American Southwest. It grows mostly in desert areas, of course, like all cacti. And just like all cacti plants, this is a plant that is very, very good at retaining water and moisture, even in extreme climates and extreme droughts where it's very dry and dry desert climates. This plant can basically survive for months and months with hardly any water, which of course already shows you why skincare companies might be interested in this plant. Because of course we have this idea of, and apparently it is really true, of a plant that can retain moisture can also help our skin to draw in and retain more moisture. So prickly pear extract is usually derived from the pulp of the cactus. And the pulp is indeed packed full of hydration. It's also rich in minerals. It's a bit like an isotonic drink, basically. And it also has slight antibacterial properties. Prickly pear extract is also full of antioxidants, which are always good to have for anti-aging, to fight off free radicals, which cause premature aging in the skin. And it has a very calming and soothing effect on the skin. So obviously, the skin types targeted when it comes to products with prickly pear extract are, of course, sensitive skin, dehydrated skin, and also very often combo skin that needs a lot of hydration, while at the same time also often is prone to breakouts. So it just helps to address these sorts of double needs very well. The main thing it really does is it almost works like a humectant, even though I don't think it's called a humectant, at least in none of the articles that I've read, but it draws moisture into skin and then helps to retain that moisture. So it gives skin just a smoother and more plump appearance. When it comes to products with Opuntia ficus indica extract, the main ones that I really, really liked are the Make Prem Save Me Relief Watery Ampoule and Cream. Those two, I actually won them at a giveaway, which was very exciting. I always love when I win stuff at giveaways because it means that I'm not bound to review them. I can just kind of enjoy them just like a normal consumer. So that was very relaxing. I find PR samples stressful, to be honest. That's why I keep saying no to most PR, because I just feel there's always this idea that you have to produce content with it, even though sometimes it's given without expecting it. But I don't know, there's always a lot of pressure from brands. I've kind of tried to step away from PR. But anyway, I won those two in a regular giveaway, and I was so excited to try them because I kept seeing them on their social media accounts and they just looked so good. And I was not disappointed. The ampoule contains prickly pear extract, of course, but it also contains hyaluronic acid and contains a couple of humectants, but it doesn't feel sticky. It is a very runny texture that sinks into skin very, very fast, especially now during the heat wave. This is an ampoule that I grab very, very often because it provides very fast hydration and it does not feel cloying. You know, a lot of hyaluronic acid rich textures can just be a little bit sticky and tacky and they sometimes take a while to sink in. I cannot have that when it's humid. This feels nice even in very humid weather and I like that. The cream is so special. I raved about this in a YouTube video about summer moisturizers because I think it's a perfect summer moisturizer for combo skin because it feels very smooth. I don't know how else to say it. It's a gel cream, but it doesn't feel, it still has a nice, almost cream-like slip. It really slips onto skin very silkily. I think it's just because it has a lot of silicones in it, to be honest, which I don't care about. Some people don't like it, but I actually like that silicone-y feel. And I also feel, even though it has a silicone-y texture, it doesn't seem to leave that weird film that some silicone formulas can do. And it just feels very, very hydrating. So for me, ideal for summer and especially ideal for combo skin. I will see if I can put in a texture shot in the episode notes. So check those out on the blog. And I also wrote a blog review because the texture really is the reason. Oh, look at the video as well. I put in a little texture video there as well. Because the texture of this is just really the reason why it's so, so special. Just beautiful. Both of these products work very well if you have very dehydrated combo to oily skin, I would say. And the next product featuring cactus fig or Opuntia ficus extract is, I have not tried this product actually, but it's on my wish list. Unfortunately, it is quite expensive, to be very transparent here. The Make Prem products don't cost a lot of money. This one, not cheap. It's the Wamisa Fresh Cactus Bouncy Serum. You all know that I love Wamisa. I think it's a wonderful organic brand from Korea. It's gotten a bit quiet around them lately. So it's sort of quietened down because I think, okay, I'll be honest here. Wamisa overhauled their entire product range. Every single product was reformulated and repackaged, and they made everything so much more expensive. A good $10 to $20 more expensive sometimes. And I think it was a mistake. First of all, some of the reformulations that I've tried, I have not liked as much as the original products, especially their toner. Gotta say, I thought the previous version was better, and it kind of breaks my heart because, again, I love Wamisa, but I don't know if I love the new stuff as much as I did the old stuff, especially given that you now have to fork out $80 or something. They've always been expensive, but I feel that something like $40 to $50 you can still kind of justify. But if it gets over that, it has to be an incredible product. And I just don't know if the new formulas are there. I don't know. But this particular serum, the Fresh Cactus Bouncy Serum, it does sound pretty interesting. The main thing that I find interesting about it is that it is really almost only prickly pear extract. They say it's 99% prickly pear extract, which I've never heard of that high of an amount of prickly pear. And there isn't much else in there. A couple of essential oils, a couple of other hydrators, but it really focuses solely on the prickly pear extract. And I really want to try out what a high dosage serum of prickly pear can do, especially for my dehydration issues. Very interesting product, in my opinion. But yeah, a little bit pricey. From a pricey product to actually a very affordable product that I've been wanting to try for years, literal years. It's a brand that has been very difficult to get a hold of for some reason outside of Korea. But now they are actually starting to be available through a number of those international retailers. Dai Korean just took them on. And I think Jolseya also now carries them. So that's very exciting because I feel it's one of the most underrated brands here in the West when it comes to very, very good long time Korean brands, especially for sensitive skin. And it is Yada, and the product is the Yada Cactus Toner Pads. This is very affordable. Usually you can find them for $10 to $15 because they're usually on special somewhere. For instance, Dai Korean at the moment has them on special almost all the time because they're trying to introduce Yada to a greater audience. And what I really like about those is that they seem so gentle. They basically are a sensitive skincare dream, I want to say. They're alcohol-free, fragrance-free. They contain a little bit of salicylic acid, but I'm pretty sure it's not a very high amount. So they are probably comparable to the, what are they called? The COSRX original one step, the red ones. And they contain a lot of brightening and very hydrating ingredients. Licorice extract, which you know I love. And of course, the cactus extract. So I think if you want to try out what cactus fig extract can do for you, this could be a very good beginner product. And I'll be honest, I know it's maybe not 100% eco-friendly. I'm having a lot of hot takes that I'm a little bit nervous of putting into this podcast, but I kind of like a bit of a toner pad. I'll be honest, they're just so damn convenient. And I just love that feeling of wiping off the humidity of the day after cleansing your skin and just having that little refreshing wipe. And these ones sound really great. The next ingredient number two that is super, super trending and has been trending for a long time. I'll be honest, this is not a new ingredient, but it really has become more popular, especially through one brand in particular, and that's Roundlab. And I'm talking about birch juice or birch sap. This is another hydrating ingredient, kind of similar, I would say, to the cactus fig extract and what it can do for the skin. So basically, self-explanatory, what birch sap is, it is the sap the juice that you can find in the birch tree. The way it is won is pretty much like you would do with maple syrup. You just kind of tap into the stem and then it just kind of pours out. It's a liquid that in Nordic countries apparently is very popular as a refreshing isotonic drink, pretty much like coconut water. I have tried birch sap juice. They sell it at health food stores here in Germany. It was quite expensive, like a small amount for something like 2 or 3 euros. Very disappointing, I have to say. I thought it tasted really gross. It tasted a bit like, I imagine this is what it would taste like if you drank the water from a foot bath after the dirty feet have been cleaned in it, mind you. So, not a fan. But apparently it's very refreshing and really helps if you are in climates where you just need sort of that isotonic kick from your drink, or when you're doing a lot of sports, or when you're sick, etc. Apart from the fact that it is very hydrating, it also contains a very high amount of amino acids and minerals, and it helps skin retain moisture, quite similar to other plant or vegetable waters, such as, for instance, bamboo water. It is usually very well tolerated for all skin types, and it is great for especially dehydrated, sensitive skin. See, very similar to the cactus fig. And as I said, the main brand that really brought out its popularity is certainly Roundlab, because they have a whole birch juice skincare range that is so, so popular in Korea. So, so, so popular. Certainly their sunscreen, which would be my first product recommendation, the birch juice moisturizing sunscreen is, I mean, it's iconic. Ever since they reformulated it after the 2020 sunscreen scandal, it's basically shot to, I would say it is pretty much the most popular sunscreen in Korea and has been since it launched in 2020. And then I also really, really like the birch juice moisturizing cream, which I haven't talked about as much yet. The sunscreen, you can find a full blog review on my page. The cream, I kind of kept forgetting talking about it, to be honest. But I did mention it in that summer moisturizer video that you can check out for a texture shot and learning more about it. The cream, it just has a very interesting texture. It is a gel, but it is kind of a more compact gel that feels very rich and moisturizing once you apply it to the skin. I thought it would be more of a gel cream similar to the Make Prem cream, for instance, that I mentioned before, but it is a lot more moisturizing. I would say actually for me in summer, it's almost a bit too much. This to me is a very good moisturizer if you have dry skin, but you're looking for a lighter texture. I would say try this one. It is very affordable because the jar is actually 80 milliliters, so it's a larger size. And usually you can find it for under $20. Really fantastic. And with this one, I can really tell that the birch juice does have a fantastic effect when it comes to sort of combating dehydration. I think it is a bit of a superstar ingredient. I would say even better than the Opuntia ficus extract. Another product that uses birch juice and has been using birch juice for a long, long time. I don't remember when that product came out, but I think it's been around since 2015, 16. A classic from that first wave of skinfluencers focusing on K-beauty, derma brand K-beauty. And it's of course the COSRX Oil-Free Ultra Moisturizing Lotion. I love this product. I love this moisturizer. And I feel it is one of those underrated products from COSRX. Everyone keeps talking about that goddamn snail essence, when this lotion, which is a really lightweight cream, it doesn't have a gel texture, it is a cream, but it just feels so, so light and is so, so beautiful for oilier skin types. No one ever talks about it. Even when there's TikToks focusing on teenage skin, they seem to not really know this product. And it is so affordable. I saw that it was on special at Style Korea. Was it Style Korea or Stylevana? I don't remember. For $15. And this is 100 milliliter in a bottle. Really affordable, beautiful formula. The only only thing about it is that it does contain fragrant essential oils. So maybe that puts off a couple of people. It contains tea tree and lemon. But otherwise, I just think it is a great first time or beginner's skincare routine staple if you have acne prone, oilier skin, because it really hydrates very, very deeply without feeling too greasy at all. And it sinks into skin so, so fast. I actually, the more I talk about it, the more I want to repurchase it because I really, really like it. Even with my 40 plus skin, I never feel that this isn't enough for my skin. So I really feel it has a very strong nourishing content. But again, it is oil free and it really doesn't trigger any breakouts in me, at least. My sister is a big fan too. My older sister, this is the moisturizer she's really settled with. She doesn't really use anything else. And she's 3 years older than me, so 46. And it's all she needs. And she loves it. And she's very discerning. You cannot convince my sister very easily to use something. So that tells you everything you need to know. And again, very affordable too. Wonderful. And the last Birch recommendation is a product I haven't tried yet, but really want to try because it sounds wonderful. And it's the Sui Skin Birch Drop Vegan Ampoule. So Sui Skin is a clean beauty vegan brand. And I know that it is quite popular among a couple of Korea-based and Korean influencers. I don't know if you know Una Beauty Cloud. I really like her content, actually. Not so much at the moment because she's kind of weirdly into the whole clean beauty thing in a way that I find a bit, it's getting a bit much. But I like her older videos. And she actually featured this ampoule a while ago and I was just kind of hooked because it has a very beautiful texture. It contains 80% birch juice and then also a couple of brightening, soothing, and very hydrating ingredients. Glycerin, niacinamide is in there as well. It just sounds like, oh, it's fragrance and alcohol-free too. So it just sounds like a very nourishing, hydrating ampoule that doesn't feel sticky from what I've seen from the texture. It seems to be very lightweight and it should work very, very well, especially for sensitive skin types. Let's get to the next ingredient. And this one, oh, it's such a trend. It has been a trend for a while, but I feel it's only just now really taking off. And it is Heartleaf or Hutuinia cordata. So Heartleaf or Hutuinia cordata, which is always very difficult to pronounce, has kind of become the new mugwort. Not that mugwort isn't a popular ingredient anymore, but certainly lately, more and more brands seem to be focusing more on Heartleaf. Just a couple of especially clean beauty brands have really made it very, very popular. I also would say, again, the pandemic is probably at fault for so many people seeking out specific plant-based ingredients. And mugwort, it is actually really similar. Hutuinia cordata, it is actually really similar to mugwort. That's why I kind of keep mixing them up. And also to Centella Asiatica. This trio is really fantastic for kind of the same reasons. They're anti-inflammatory, they really help with redness issues, and they're slightly antibacterial. It is a soothing and calming ingredient, and it is high in antioxidants. So for me personally, I've actually felt that Heartleaf is almost better for my skin when it comes to its soothing and calming properties, and especially when it comes to my redness issues. I just see more of an immediate effect, especially compared to Centella Asiatica, I have to say. So I've become very, very fond of Heartleaf. When it comes to trying out Heartleaf, you have so many options at the moment, because again, it's just kind of everywhere. One of the most popular Heartleaf-focused products is certainly the Anua Heartleaf 77 Soothing Toner. This, I would say, is what started the craze around Heartleaf, pretty much. Anua is a very small brand, but just they shot to popularity so fast just because of this toner. Everyone loved this toner. I think the reason why people love it is because it has a high amount of Heartleaf. It's almost only Heartleaf. It does contain a little bit of Centella Asiatica as well. And then humectant sugar molecules plus a bit of glycerin. It's alcohol and fragrance free, so a very minimalist, simplistic formula. So it's really good if you have reactive skin. And it has a very watery texture, so it's very lightweight. So I think especially in hot, sticky, summery weather, This must be really, really refreshing. I have not tried it yet, but it is definitely on my wish list. I think it's a tiny bit pricey. Tiny, teeny bit pricey for what it is. But otherwise, I think Anua is a very interesting brand. And then, of course, what is probably the most popular Heartleaf product, maybe even more popular than the Anua toner, I would say is the Abib Spot Pad Calming Touch. So this is a toner pad. It is meant to be soothing and hydrating predominantly. And it has a very minimalist, very simple, and very sort of focused just on calming and soothing with a bit of hydration type of formula. Abib is also a smaller indie brand, a clean beauty brand. I don't feel they have too much of a focus on the clean beauty aspect, which I always appreciate because the clean beauty marketing can be really annoying. It can be so annoying. I'm not a fan of clean beauty, that's for sure, but it is the number one trend at the moment worldwide. So you kind of cannot escape it, you know? These toner pads, I think people really like them so much because they just contain pretty much just Heartleaf and then a couple of other soothing plant extracts, a little bit of glycerin, and that's about it. Fragrance-free, alcohol-free, just very, very sensitive skincare friendly. I really want to try these ones out because I've heard they're very good for overheated, redness prone skin. And hey, that's my skin at the moment, that's for sure. They're not always cheap. These ones, you best actually wait until they are on special somewhere. Olive Young sometimes has specials. They often have 1+1 specials. And by now, they're also available at pretty much all other retailers. Abib is a very good brand to try out when it comes to wanting to know what Heartleaf can do for your skin. They also have a Heartleaf toner, I think a cream, and they also have a couple of sheet masks with Heartleaf that are very, very good for soothing. And then one more Heartleaf-focused product that I'm a super fan of, which I have tried. Actually, I'm on my second bottle. Guess what? Yes, I have actually repurchased this product after trying it. And it is the Bar Cosmetics Super Green Deep Energy Ampoule. This is so good. Oh, so good. Another product where I don't understand why no one talks about it, because if you have trouble with redness and dehydration, this is a super, super, super recommendation from me because it just features all of the good stuff you need to calm down your skin. It contains 60% Heartleaf and combines it with 20% mugwort. So Heartleaf and mugwort, to me, an unbeatable combo when it comes to redness. Truly fantastic. And also for soothing and calming, especially since they also added some panthenol. So very anti-inflammatory ingredients overall, also high in antioxidants, of course. And what is really nice about this is a very simplistic serum. It is a kind of a liquid. It is a little bit syrupy, but once you apply it, it actually feels super, super light and it doesn't feel sticky. It sinks into skin very, very fast and just feels kind of, you know, these products that maybe aren't very glamorous, but they really do their job. I feel that Bar Cosmetics is very good at creating those types of products. And I feel maybe that's why not that many people talk about them, because they aren't glamorous. You know, they aren't meant for the TikTok age where you always need a bit of a glamorous, weird sort of spin. This is just a very simple, what is advertised sort of product, but it is wonderful, wonderful, very hydrating, so, so soothing. I'm a big fan of this one. And on to skincare ingredient, trending skincare ingredient number four, we're already in four, yay. And it's kombucha, or fermented green tea or black tea extract. This has been around, I would say, for a good year or two now, and especially one product has really made it a very, very trending ingredient, though I would say more here in the West. This, I would say, is more of a Western trend associated with Korean brands, however, predominantly. Kombucha? Okay, so I don't know if they really put kombucha actual kombucha cultures or kombucha as an ingredient into the skincare. I do feel it is a bit of a marketing thing because most of the time when you look at the ingredient list, it's listed as fermented green tea or black tea extract plus usually galactomyces or saccharomyces, which is a fermented yeast extract. But then maybe that's how you make kombucha. I wouldn't know. I'm not a kombucha expert. But to me, it seems it's more of an ingredient complex that focuses mostly on fermentation of tea extracts. But that's nothing bad. I just feel the kombucha sometimes is maybe a bit gimmicky. But I mean, I get it because kombucha is very popular in the West as a sort of lifestyle drink. So what exactly is kombucha in case you don't know? It is a sparkling fermented tea beverage. Apparently it contains a tiny, teeny bit of alcohol, but kind of negligible from what I've understood. It doesn't really give you a buzz or anything, but it is rich in probiotics, which are very good for gut health. Kombucha originates, well, it's a little bit mysterious where it fully comes from. There are different theories, apparently, but most people seem to think it came from China and then, of course, was adopted into other Asian cultures as well. It's very popular in Korea, and it is also very popular in Russia. Probably through the Silk Road, it ended up in Russia, and Russians love their tea. So they also love the fermented tea beverage, and yeah, kombucha, very popular in Russia still. And then during the health food crisis of the 90s in particular, it came to the US and also to Europe. I remember when I was a teenager in the 90s, I was always kind of fascinated by kombucha. It was only sold in health food stores and was a bit of a hippie thing, I would say. So by now, certainly it has become more mainstream and you can find it, at least here in Germany, in all supermarkets. Still kind of a health food thing. It's usually organic brands that produce kombucha. I really like it. I think it's so refreshing and really nice. I don't know if it has any health benefits for me in particular. I just like the taste. And I feel it's really refreshing, especially in summer. Has been a little bit appropriated by the wellness culture in a way that is just super uncomfortable, as with most of the trends coming from especially India and China, Japan, a lot of Japanese sort of health trends also have been appropriated. It's just all cultural appropriation, if you're honest, just us white people making bank from what has been a cultural food item or drink for thousands of years in Asian countries. But be that as it may, that probably needs another podcast episode that I don't think I am qualified to make when it comes to cultural appropriation. Back to kombucha and skincare. It is apparently also very good, as are most probiotic ingredients, for the skin barrier. It is a very skin barrier friendly ingredient. It helps to boost the protectiveness of the skin barrier. It helps to balance the friendly bacteria in the skin's microbiome, and it can also strengthen the skin barrier. It also contains antioxidants, as most green tea based ingredients do, because green tea is rich in antioxidants, and it also seems to be an anti-inflammatory, which is great. And it might also provide the skin with a little bit of a healthy glow from within. A lot of people have reported that from using kombucha-based skincare. And I have to say, especially with one of the products I'm going to recommend, I would agree with that. But that's anecdotal. I don't know how scientific it is. But it certainly is fantastic for skin barrier health and for any sort of sensitive skincare related problems. The product that certainly kicked off the kombucha craze was the Dr. Suracle Vegan Kombucha Tea Essence. This was so popular on Instagram amongst Western K-beauty skinfluencers. I just saw this everywhere. And I have to say, I was the same. I was hooked. The first time I saw Dr. Suracle, former Lee Gyam or Lee Gyam brand, the first time I saw them post about this, I knew this is gonna be a big hit because it just looks so appealing. It basically looks exactly like a milk tea. It has a tea face and then a milky phase, and then you can shake it and it combines to create basically a milk tea, a slightly tinted milky skin, cream skin refiner. And it is beautiful. It's a beautiful product. It's vegan and it is alcohol free and fragrance free. It really combines the best of both worlds when it comes to a toner. It is very hydrating. It also is very refreshing thanks to the kombucha extract and a couple of other plant extracts, but it also is very, very moisturizing because it has a couple of deeper moisturizing ingredients in that cream face, in that milky face, and it really combines so nicely. It just creates this beautiful, rich cream texture that still doesn't feel sticky or oily. I've talked to people who have also used the Laneige Cream Skin Refiner, which is kind of the same creamy, milky texture, and this idea of combining oils in a liquid formula. And they say that apparently this Dr. Suricol toner is a lot lighter while at the same time hydrating and moisturizing just as well. And you also get some probiotic goodness. It's really just, it's wonderful. You can read my full blog post if you want to. I'll link it in the episode notes. And yeah, highly, highly, highly recommend it, if only for how beautiful it looks. But it also does fantastic things for the skin, just on top of that. And I'm currently trying out and really loving a pretty new brand called Telsi, I think they're pronounced. They have a whole kombucha skincare line. And the product that I like best so far by a mile is the Kombucha Detox Essence. This is beautiful. More people need to know about this product. So this is a, how do I describe this? So it's a more of a toner, I would say. I think it's called essence because it contains fermented ingredients. So it is a little bit like a first treatment essence, I guess, but it feels a little bit viscous. So it isn't super liquidy. It has a bit of a thickness to it, but it still feels very, very smooth and doesn't feel cloying or too heavy when you apply it to the skin. I use this a couple of times now. Every time I use this, and I usually use it at night, I wake up with noticeably fresher, smoother, sort of more revitalized skin. It took me a while to get what it was in my skincare routine that was kind of new, because it was kind of a new thing that I noticed where I thought, wait, I must have used something that made my skin look really, really great. And I really think it is that Telsi essence. It just has something in it. And I think it probably is the kombucha, I'm thinking. So it's basically green tea extract plus Saccharomyces, never know how to pronounce that, which is again that fermented yeast extract. Plus it also contains extra probiotics, quite a few probiotic extracts. And then also a couple of humectants, glycerin, hyaluronic acid. And it just really seems to refresh my skin. I've actually started using this as a prep now in the mornings before I film YouTube videos, because it just seems to bring out that healthy plumpness. I swear this has some magic in it that I still haven't fully got behind. Hide what it is. Is it maybe that it has a higher amount of kombucha extract versus the Dr. Suricol? Listen, I love the Dr. Suricol, but the Dr. Suricol I feel is mostly a very strong moisturizing and hydrating ingredient, very good for sensitive skin. The Telsi essence I feel has a bit of anti-aging magic in it. I will continue to use this before I make a final judgment, but so far, very impressed. Very impressed with this. And then the last kombucha-based product recommendation. Another brand that not many people, I think, know. And I've been a big fan since last year. I was fortunate enough to try out a couple of the products because Spain, I think, Spain-based retailer sent me a couple of the products. I've loved all of them. It's a very interesting brand. And the brand is called Juice to Cleanse. And this is the Vinegar Kombucha Essence. Juice to Cleanse, I think, is a brand that might not be for everyone because they do use essential oils usually in their products. A lot of fragrant essential oils that might not be great for very sensitive skin. I do think that Vinegar Kombucha Essence is very interesting, and then it combines the kombucha extract with vinegar, so more fermented goodness. Vinegar actually very popular in Korea, both for hair care, make sure that the scalp gets a good sort of rinse, acidic rinse, but also for skin. People also drink it as a health tonic combined with water. Also very popular actually here in the West, you know, the apple cider vinegar thing. A lot of people do that. And it can be good for the skin if it is diluted enough. Please don't ever put real vinegar on your face. That is not a good idea. But combined with other extracts and ingredients, it can be really fantastic for skin barrier health. What it also does is that it gives a bit of a healthy glow to the skin, and I certainly noticed this in the essence, in the Juice to Cleanse essence. I very much like to use this in the mornings because it's very lightweight, watery, refreshing, not super hydrating, but it does work very similar to a first treatment essence in that it feels very brightening and it just gives a very nice healthy glow. Oh, and almost forgot, it also gives a bit of exfoliating action a little bit because it contains enzymes. So you also get a bit of smoothing from it. All right, my voice is steadily going, steadily dying. But we are at the last ingredient, and it is an ingredient that, yes, this is the one that I don't actually like very much, but it is so wildly, wildly popular that I absolutely cannot avoid talking about it. And it is, of course, bakuchiol. I'm sure if you're into skincare at all, you have probably seen sort of any brand at the moment, not just Korean brands, produce a bakuchiol cream or serum or ampoule or I don't know what. It is everywhere. And I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest. Now, this is not my first rant about bakuchiol. I have written on the blog about it. I've also talked about it in my very first YouTube video, in fact. And my opinion is still kind of the same. I have softened a little bit towards it, but I'm still just kind of a little bit cranky about it. So, first of all, what actually is bakuchiol? It is apparently an ingredient compound, one from the medicinal plant that I cannot pronounce the Latin name of. Psorrelia coralifolia is as close as I can get, also commonly known as babchi. This has been used in traditional Chinese and also Indian, so Ayurvedic medicine for centuries and centuries, so it has a very long-standing tradition of being a healing herb. And it is rich in phytochemicals and flavonoids. It has antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, and also antibacterial properties. So, sounds great, right? Also, of course, and this is where it starts annoying me, it sort of has been touted as an alternative to retinol, because apparently there was a small study done where it had similar effects on the skin, so wrinkle smoothing, firming, revitalizing, youth enhancing effects on the skin. So a lot of brands, especially clean beauty brands, now present it as a quote-unquote natural alternative to retinol. I do not understand this, because retinol is a natural part of the human body. It is vitamin A. It is a derivative or a precursor, I think would be the correct terminology, of vitamin A. And vitamin A is, you cannot get more natural and more part of the human body-esque. It's basically like, it would be like trying to tout an alternative for niacinamide. Niacinamide also is just a vitamin, a B vitamin. So why do we need something quote unquote natural? It just seems very gimmicky and marketing nonsense to me, and it just kind of rubs me the wrong way. The only thing that I have learned ever since I first talked crankily about bakuchiol is that apparently there is solid scientific evidence for bakuchiol working very well in tandem with retinol. So apparently it can boost the efficacy of retinol, and apparently it can also help the skin tolerate the effects of the negative effects of retinol better. So I am starting to come around a little bit, softening up a little bit towards Bakuchiol, because I can see the reasons why you would combine retinol products with Bakuchiol. I just get annoyed when brands are now bringing out Bakuchiol products and then sometimes they even label them as retinol. They kind of call it phytoretinol or something like that. There's a lot of misleading clean beauty greenwashing marketing going on around Bakuchiol that I just really don't like. And I just don't know if we really need it in everything. I feel Bakuchiol should be more of a niche ingredient, in my opinion, because I really don't know if it does anything as fantastically as people claim. There's a lot of trying to hype it up. I have tried two Bakuchiol products and really tried to use them for a while, and I was not that impressed. I can't say it did much. I think it helped a bit to smoothen my skin. Maybe it can be good if you have a sensitivity towards retinol. People sometimes have that. I personally will stick to retinol. But be that as it may, let me still give you some recommendations for products, because just because I'm grumpy about Bakuchiol doesn't mean you have to as well, because there are a lot of people who really like it, and my grumpiness should not be the be-all and end-all when it comes to ingredients. So I have not tried any of these products, just an FYI, but I have heard good things about them. The first one is a bit of a phenomenon at the moment in Korea. It's very popular. I think it's one of the top 10 moisturizers at the moment in Korea. Everyone seems to be buzzing about this, to a point where I'm getting intrigued and kind of want to try it, even though, again, not a fan of Bakuchiol, but I am a bit of a marketing victim, not gonna lie. And as soon as I hear Koreans going crazy over something, I kind of instantly go, oh, okay, maybe it is good. So it's the Mamonde Bakuchiol Retinol Cream. So this is a combo product, and apparently it has a really nice, very lightweight sort of gel-like texture. So I think a lot of people just love it for the texture. I don't know, however, how much retinol is in there, so I am a little bit skeptical as for the anti-aging claims. I would always suggest that you'd use a proper retinol-focused product where you also know how the percentage, how much retinol is actually in there. Personally, I'm a fan of retinol anyway, retinaldehyde versus retinol, but that's another story. But yeah, apparently it is very soothing and sort of a little bit cooling on the skin, and seems to be great for, honestly, I think younger skin more. I think maybe it appeals to people in their 20s who think they're doing something preventative. I don't know. I wouldn't put too much emphasis on the retinol. I do think it's probably a nice soothing cream. I think the Bakuchiol can probably help with skin barrier issues. If you have combo skin, maybe this could be a good one to try if you're a little bit younger. I would say maybe not for mature skin. I would go for a higher dosage retinol. But again, yeah, super trendy at the moment in Korea, this moisturizer. The next product is kind of pushed quite a bit at the moment on social media. I see a lot of people, I don't know if it's ads or if they just got PR, but I saw a lot of people experiment with this one. So I'm guessing the brand sent out some products. Usually, here's a little tip in case you haven't noticed this anyway already and are smart enough already without me telling you the obvious. But usually when you see one product suddenly on your feed or even on TikTok, if like 100 influencers, especially smaller influencers, all at the same time post about the same product, chances are that it is a very coordinated marketing campaign. So yeah, this one, it just struck me, it looks like the brand is trying very hard to make us excited about this product. And it is the Neogen Dermalogy Real Bakuchiol Firming Serum. This contains 10% so-called phytoretinol. So I'm guessing that means the Bakuchiol. It wasn't clear to me, but I would say it probably just means 10% Bakuchiol extract, so it would be a high amount of Bakuchiol, which would be interesting to try. And it also contains a couple of other very good anti-aging ingredients, so a couple of antioxidants, plant extract and blackberry extract. It contains vitamin C, a couple of derivatives, and also ascorbic acid. Now, the ascorbic acid might not do much in the formula because it's probably not stable, but the other derivatives can provide a little little bit of brightening and antioxidant properties. And then it also contains quite a lot of hydrators. So it could be a nice soothing and hydrating product. It contains aloe vera, glycerin, hyaluronic acid, squalene, which is great for moisturizing, and sunflower seed extract. And it also contains peptides, one of my favorite anti-aging ingredients, because it really helps a lot with firming. I have more problems with losing the firmness of my skin versus wrinkles. I don't have that many wrinkles yet, a little bit around my eyes, but overall it's not too bad. A little bit on the forehead, but really very minimal. But my skin is super saggy. So that is always kind of what I look for. And I find that peptides in particular are fantastic for firming. So I don't know if the bakuchiol in the product interests me, but the other ingredients in the formula make it potentially a very good early anti-aging type product. Phew, last but not least, when it comes to bakuchiol-based products, this one I found while I was researching bakuchiol products, had not heard of it yet. I think it is very, very new. And I have to say, I added it to my wish list. Very curious about it, and it's not expensive. And it is the Haru Haru Wonder Black Rice Bakuchiol Eye Cream. I really like Haru Haru. Haru Haru, I think is how you pronounce it, not Haru Haru. Sorry, my voice is going. It's just kind of hard to focus with all the hay fever symptoms. So Haru Haru Wonder is another clean beauty brand. The clean beauty, again, just it's doing so well in Korea. And I actually tried some of their products, I would say maybe 3 years ago, 2 years ago. I feel it was before 2020. It's been a while. The years are kind of just, it's hard to separate them at this point. I think a lot of us feel that way. But I think it was 3 years ago when they were still not that well known, actually. And I really enjoyed especially their toner. Now, ever since then, they've actually gone viral with a newer version of the toner. The old version, the Black Rice toner, contained alcohol and essential oils. But they then brought out a fragrance-free version because I feel they really listened to their customer base in a really great way and adapt very quickly to what the customers want. And what most people want today is actually fragrance-free formulas. So they brought out a fragrance-free and alcohol-free toner version, and it went viral on TikTok, really viral. It was everywhere for a while, similar to the Cosrx Snail Essence, sold out everywhere for a really long time. And yeah, from what I remember from the original formula, it was a very, very nice toner. It's one of those hyaluronic acid toners that are still not too thick or heavy. It still has a very runny texture. I remember I really enjoyed using the toner after the gym because it just provides a nice boost of hydration and also felt very refreshing. To be fair, probably because of the alcohol. But I would be keen to try the fragrance and alcohol-free version. What I also really like about Haru Haru is, again, why do I keep saying Haru Haru? Haru Haru! Is that it is a very affordable brand. It really doesn't cost a lot. I think you can get the toner usually for $15-ish. And this new product, the eye cream, I saw it on YesStyle for only $12. So really intrigued by this cream. And the reason why I'm really keen on it is because the formula sounds very promising when it comes to providing anti-aging benefits to the very delicate eye area. It contains, of course, the bakuchiol. We all know now, not a fan, but okay. But also black rice extract, which can be brightening and skin smoothing. And then it also contains ginseng, wonderful anti-aging ingredient, revitalizing, firming, provides antioxidants, and also adenosine, another sort of potentially wrinkle smoothing ingredient, and metacassocyte that's a Centella Asiatica compound, which is very good for soothing. And it's fragrance-free and alcohol-free. I really want to try this. Sounds fantastic. And I think it would be fantastic without the bakuchiol. So not my favorite ingredient, but it had to be added to these 5 ingredients. And I think is a good closing point when it comes to this podcast, because I can hardly talk at this point. Yay, fever. So yeah, this was it for this week. My 5 trending ingredient, K-beauty ingredients that I think you really have to try. Bakuchiol may be optional, but I do think it is an ingredient that we won't be able to avoid if we're into skincare, because it just is everywhere. But the other four, I'm really a big fan of them. I think they're wonderful, soothing, natural, plant-based ingredients that can do a lot for especially dehydrated and aggravated skin. So I hope you got maybe some new interesting recommendations out of today's podcast. Sorry for my voice being a bit annoying and all the rambling on at the beginning. So sorry if you aren't sick of me after this episode and you maybe want to find out more about my work. You can always check out my blog at sugarpeachesloves.net. And I also now have a new YouTube channel, and I'm really, really so keen to grow it. And I would love to see you on my channel and subscribe and maybe like and comment and just kind of engage with the videos. Love to see you there. And I'll make sure to link that in the episode notes and in the description box here for the podcast. You can also find me on Instagram. The account name is at sugarpeachesloves. And again, would love to see you there. And a couple of people have shared how they listened to the latest episode. That always makes me super happy. When it comes to this podcast, you can listen and subscribe to this podcast pretty much on all platforms. I'm now also always trying to remember to upload it on YouTube, in case people prefer to listen there to the podcast. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple in particular, then it always is super appreciated if you leave a 5-star review. It really helps the podcast to gain a bit of popularity and maybe get more attractive to potential sponsors and maybe become larger than it is at the moment. It's very small at the moment because I had this big break where I didn't record anything. So that always helps and is super appreciated, and I love to read your reviews. You're always so kind, guys. And also, of course, if you do want to support my work as a content creator, freelance content creator, if you want to, it's always very helpful for us creators if you use the affiliate links provided in the episode notes, which you can find on my blog, for any of the products mentioned. If you do your purchases through the affiliate links, I get a little bit of a commission. And it doesn't cost you anything extra. Also, you can, if you want to, buy me a virtual coffee as a thank you for whatever content you might have consumed that you enjoyed. Hopefully, God, I hope you enjoy it. And you can find that at my Ko-fi page. I think it's called Ko-fi, where you can just donate the equivalent of a coffee, $3, I think it is, or you can buy multiple coffees. So you can do that. It's optional, but of course, not gonna lie, highly appreciate it. And yeah, that's pretty much it for today. I hope I see you in the next episode. We'll see what the topic will be, probably still very summer related, and I hope my voice has recovered till then. In any case, I really hope you enjoyed the episode. I hope to see you again for the new one, and until then, happy masking, layering, and patting. Bye. Take care. Bye. Thank you.